Show me how to lay my life for them. Woman who loved, may I not be scared of the cross?
It's a problem that affects at least one out of every three women around the world. But all too often, its victims suffer in silence, sometimes too ashamed to seek help. We're talking about the issue of violence against women. It's a violence that takes many forms and occurs in many places, be it rape, domestic violence in the home, trafficking, and many other types of physical or emotional abuse. As we mark Wednesday's International Day for the Elimination of Violence Against Women, let's shine the spotlight on this often neglected problem that, according to the UN, is of pandemic proportions and arguably one of the most pervasive human rights violations that we know today. Whilst violence against women is a global phenomenon and cuts across all ethnic, social and economic boundaries, there are certain circumstances where the incidence of violence, especially rape, tends to skyrocket. And that's in countries affected by war and conflict and the resulting breakdown of law and order. Rape as a weapon of war. That's a description we often hear used in connection with the ongoing conflict in the eastern DR Congo, where violence against women and girls, sometimes as young as toddlers, is almost endemic. War and conflict also causes massive displacement of the local population, and women who are forced to flee their homes, and sometimes their country as well, are particularly vulnerable to sexual abuse. Angelica Mendes is a communications officer for Jesuit Refugee Services, or JRS, in the Eastern Africa region, where many refugees who fled from the conflict in the DR Congo have sought sanctuary. But, as this one story about a Congolese refugee illustrates, violence against women doesn't just occur in the war-torn Congo, but can strike at any time.
I'm thinking of a story of a refugee woman in Kampala, Bakola. Her husband was murdered and she fled first to Burundi and then to Uganda with four children. And JRS helped her to start a small tailoring business in Kampala so that she could pay for the children's education, for food, accommodation, healthcare. But 2 years ago, she was attacked and she was raped by six men in front of her children. And after they beat her almost to death and they looted the house and all they could find. So after this attack, she even gave birth to a baby boy. And of course, I mean, all this left her deeply wounded. So now JRS supports her with food and rent. And we also refer her to another agency where she receives specific medication and attends counseling sessions. And that's just one story that illustrates the plight of many women, especially refugee women in Kampala, who come mostly from Congo and who have been raped there. And then sometimes they have the same experience in the country where they actually sought refuge.
Teach us how to love in the pain, woman of God.
Anna Sampson is an advocacy officer for JRS in Thailand, and she spoke to me about the level of violence levelled against women there, both in the female population at large and also among the refugees who have fled to Thailand from conflicts in Burma, Afghanistan and Iraq.
Well, I don't think that Thai society is particularly different from any sorts of societies, both in Southeast Asia and more generally in the world. I think that women are at risk of violence most commonly from partners and from people that they know, as well as the other forms of violence that they experience at the hands of strangers. Because unfortunately, despite this being the 21st century, women are still at a high risk of harassment within the home, of violence that's perpetrated not only of the physical kind, but also of the economic and psychological kind. And they're also at risk from traveling when they're in the workplace in terms of sexual harassment by employers and their colleagues. I think that that this sort of experience of women that we see as being quite common here in Thailand is the sort of experience that women face everywhere around the world.
And as far as you know, do many women who are the victims of violence report it to the police or the authorities, or are there many you think who suffer in silence?
Again, I think that that there is a dramatic underreporting of violence against women by women who experience such harassment, discrimination and violence. And again, I don't think that Thai society is particularly different from other societies, that what we do see, and in fact, statistics that are produced that indicate that there has been a rise of violence against women actually tend to reflect more the fact that women are increasingly feeling more comfortable with reporting these incidents. It doesn't necessarily mean that there's been an overall increase or even that the statistics that we're seeing actually accurately reflect the extent of violence that's perpetrated against women. But I think that this is definitely indicative of the fact that so many women do still feel that the violence that's perpetrated against them might be somehow their fault, that the violence will not be taken seriously, that there will be no redress for the wrong that's been perpetrated against them. And I think working for JRS and the women that we see who are most particularly asylum seekers and refugees, that we see very high incidences of underreporting by women who are the victims of violence, who are the victims of violence both in their home countries, which is often one of the leading factors for causing them to flee, but also during transit and then when they arrive in Thailand as their final destination country in the place that they're actually seeking protection.
So you get refugees coming, as you say, from not just Burma, but from Sri Lanka, Pakistan, Afghanistan, Somalia and Iraq, often countries, as you say, where there is a lot of violence or even an armed conflict. So they're fleeing from situations of violence there. How many of them, for instance, have been raped?
Well, as we know, rape is still considered, well, it is a tool and a weapon of war, and women are the victims of the use of that weapon predominantly. So we do see a number of refugees and asylum seekers here in Thailand who will have suffered some form of sexual trauma or sexual violence that's been perpetrated against them. And if they've been living through a conflict situation or a conflict-like situation, the risk and the incidence of such sexual violence is much higher. And again, this is just simply because within conflict situations, women are seen as partly repositories of culture and therefore legitimate targets within a conflict. But they're also seen as a way in which the enemy can be defeated. And so to treat women in this way is considered a legitimate part of engaging within a conflict or as part of the war. And of course, this is a situation that is outlawed under international law, and there are very strong conventions and legal instruments that indicate that treatment of women in this way is against international principles. So, of course, part of what JRS attempts to do in working with women who are refugees and asylum seekers is to highlight these very high incidents of sexual violence against women in conflict situations and attempt to address those root causes.
You say a high incidence, but do you have any figures? Do you have any indication at all what percentage we're talking about?
Well, we would say that almost every woman that approaches us for assistance and who we see as a refugee and asylum seeker would have experienced some form of violence or trauma, and usually sexual violence.
And is this usually at the hands of armed groups, or could it be sometimes even members of the woman's family or community?
Well, I guess this is partly about the complex nature of the refugee experience and the refugee experiences for women refugees. Violence that is experienced by women who are fleeing or seeking protection can occur at every stage along their journey. So it can occur in their home country where it might be perpetrated at the hands of rebel groups or armed groups or the military or the police. It could happen at the hands of their own family or community members for various reasons, violation of presumed cultural norms and the like. It can happen at the point of transit, so when women are attempting to leave the situation of persecution or violence, when they're at risk at the hands of traffickers or when they're trying to protect their children, when they're crossing borders, which is, of course, a very risky thing to do when women are at risk of violence at that stage during flight. But then they are also at risk and they experience violence in their host country. So just because they've managed to leave the situation that caused their flight to begin with and they've escaped that violence, it doesn't necessarily mean that they're free from violence in their host country. So they can arrive in a country of destination and still be at risk if they end up in a refugee camp, There can be women who experience violence within the camp from other refugees, camp leaders and camp management, from NGO workers, people who work for the United Nations, and they face violence within their employment situations because, of course, many times, and particularly here in Thailand, they're unlawful because they're undocumented. And therefore, they work in a situation where their employers exercise a lot of power over them. So, unfortunately, the nature of the refugee women's experience is one that is peppered by violence, and it's almost a part of their everyday existence. And women have a very resilient, and they've learned to cope with it, and they've developed strategies for managing these risks and for minimizing it, and most importantly, for protecting their children from these risks. But it is definitely something that they face almost daily.
So how badly traumatized are some of these women who've undergone all these terrible things, and how does JRS reach out and help them?
Look, I think that women are severely traumatized by these events, and frankly, how could you not be? I think that they're quite natural and understandable responses to the experiences that they have suffered. But at the same time, I think definitely anybody who works with refugees and asylum seekers witnesses an incredible resilience on the part of these women and of all refugees and asylum seekers, I think. So despite these significant levels of trauma, which can, of course, manifest in psychological and physical and somatic conditions, but at the same time, I think these women have developed very good coping strategies. And JRS in Thailand, but also in other countries where we work, prides itself in working very closely with communities and in building strong communities, strong refugee communities that are better equipped and better resourced to support the members of that community. Because refugees are really in the best position, if they are well resourced and supported, to help themselves and to be seen as the agents and the catalyst for change.
Teach us to believe.
Trying to eradicate the epidemic of violence against women means going to the roots of the problem. And as Angelica explains, this is a difficult and long-term process that often involves trying to change deeply ingrained cultural attitudes and traditions.
And we can say that there are basically three major root causes. One are poor legal frameworks. Another one is the impunity and the acceptance with which society and governments treat violence against women. And the third one is the low status of women in society. So to find the right method of prevention, first of all, we have to make sure that appropriate laws are adopted and enforced. And in fact, during the last decade, several laws on an international, on a regional, but also on a national level have been adopted. But the gaps between legislation and enforcement are still vast, and they haven't translated into increased protection for women and girls. So now the real challenge is to enforce these laws and to translate existing policies into concrete programs that actually benefit women and girls. On the second root cause, we need to change people's behavior and an attitude towards violence, which of course requires long-term commitment. And the responsibility here really extends to everyone. It is extremely important to support and sustain an environment in which violence against women and girls is not tolerated. And then, of course, we need to support and empower the women themselves, which plays a key role to some of the challenges.
That was Angelica Mendes, and you earlier heard the voice of Anna Sampson, who both work for Jesuit Refugee Services.